Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
5 at 5, brought to you by Sport Clips. Cut the weight, download the new Sport Clips haircut app, and check in.
It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Hall. 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall starts now.
Does Mike Trout deserve to be the highest paid professional athlete in the world? Who is worthy of a $430 million contract?
Well, Mike Trout is the best player in baseball, and baseball pays a lot of money. So if he has the opportunity to get paid, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. And the other thing about Mike Trout is I don't see him being I don't see him doing the Peyton Manning commercials, right? Peyton Manning's still doing the Peyton Manning commercials. Mike Jordan's still selling some Hanes underwear and various products. So Mike Trout's got to make his money somewhere. He may as well make his money on the field. And I think he's a great player. Again, I don't know the way forward for the franchise. Is anyone worthy of $430 million? I would imagine that, you know, Messi, Ronaldo, people like that, that can change a team and sell jerseys and do advertising all over the world. I'm trying to think of it's a crazy amount of money. It's monopoly money, and it doesn't seem real to hear that kind of money thrown around. And if anyone's going to get in baseball, then fair enough, Mike Trout. He deserves to be paid as the best player in baseball, since he is. It's so much money. It's $100 million more. And I mean, what's $100 million among friends? But it's so – it just seems – I wouldn't even know how to begin to compute it. It just seems – I guess that's where the future's going, because we always see these kind of contracts that break the ceiling, and you wonder how much is it going to be. I'll tell you what, it's just going to keep going up, because if Mike Trout can earn that, there's another Mike Trout out there somewhere. There's someone on the way that's going to get paid $500.
Major League Baseball last year had $10.8 billion in revenue as a league, okay? The Angels in 2011 had a $3 billion television deal. $3 billion. There's a ton of money out there to be made, yep, and to be distributed. And you have a guy in Mike Trout who, unlike Bryce Harper was as much about the brand as he was the baseball. He was a guy that, with due respect to his talents, and he's a tremendous talent, but Mike Trout's accomplishments far exceed Bryce Harper's. You look at what he has done, and he's only 27 years old. He's been the MVP twice. He's been an all-star 7 times, rookie of the year, 6 times silver slugger. This is a guy who is the best player in the game. Because he has a low profile, he could walk down, you know, and pass a lot of people anonymously, and you might not recognize him, and you might not see him on the commercials nationally, but he is worthy of being the highest paid player in baseball. Is he the highest, should he be the highest paid athlete in the world? I don't know that he means as much to baseball as LeBron James might mean to the NBA. As you know, you can name an NFL player. I mean, the NFL certainly has a lot more drawing power and clout. But I don't know that any one player stands out to me when you think of, okay, the NFL, who would be worthy of that kind of money? The contracts certainly are different. In the context of $36 million per year, $36 million per year. Now, it's 400. It's a big number, $430 million, because we spread it out over 12. But, yeah, I think he is worthy of $36 million per year in the context of the baseball revenue stream and the way the Angels rely upon him to be a lucrative franchise.
Yeah, David, you just went over the numbers there, the revenue that Major League Baseball is bringing in, that the Angels are bringing in. When people turn on a game, or they go to a game, or they buy a jersey, or they buy a video game, they don't do that because of the owners or, you know, somebody else or the commissioner or anybody like that. They do it to see the players and maybe not necessarily, and to Dustin's point, which I'm sure he'll elaborate on, maybe nobody that he knows has bought a ticket to go see Mike Trout play against the White Sox or against the Cubs whenever he's in town. But there are a lot of people, baseball fans, that do that. And not only is he the best player in baseball now, there's already an argument to be made that he's the best player of all time when you look at what he's done. And Dustin's laughing because he's just... He has no idea.
Like, it's legit, though, Kevin. Oh, that's a legitimate argument.
Dustin, please. Why are you laughing? Why is that so laughable? Because you've never seen him play. Because you have no idea.
Right. Because if he's so great, he should make you want to get off your couch and go see him play. He should make you want to buy the MLB package to watch his games. If he's the best player potentially to ever play the game. He's 0-3 in the playoffs. He's 0-3 in the playoffs.
Oh my god,
okay?
That is the most myopic,
of course,
small-minded argument. If you can even call it an argument.
Show, tune into the show at 9:15.
I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I can't even argue with something so ridiculous like that. I mean,
you've paid to go see him, so
I subscribe to MLB TV, and I can watch any game I want at any time. Yes, and. I mean, just look, if you think it's too much money, which I think that's the crux of the issue here with a lot of people, if you think it's too much money, you know, go down to the store or go down and fill up your gas tank, buy a hamburger, buy a beer. Look, everything is so expensive these days. Why isn't Mike Trout worth this kind of money when you can't even go to a baseball game without spending $200? It's well worth it. And yes, he's underpaid, if you ask me.
Mike Trout finds himself in a very unique, strange situation in that he's kind of stuck on this island of mediocrity, and he's the best player in baseball, stuck on a team that is not good, but has the best play. He's the best player in the game. Because of that fact, I say yes, he deserves the money. Absolutely, he is the best player, and I understand where Dustin is going with the lack of visibility, I guess, for lack of a better term, of Mike Trout. But, I mean, it's just, yeah, the Angels have not been in the playoffs. But whose fault is that? It's certainly not Mike Trout's fault. So, obviously, they want to keep him. Their farm system is no longer the worst in baseball. It's kind of like middle of the pack now. So, obviously, they believe they can... They can do. I hope they, for Mike Trout's sake, I hope they can build something there with the Angels, because he deserves to be in the spotlight. I wish there was a better way that for Mike Trout to be showcased. I know, as Kevin pointed out, you can have an MLB.TV account and watch any game you want, but you know there are certainly people in Dustin's position that feel like, oh well, where is this guy? Who is this guy? I'll let Dustin make his point.
I guess I want to be wrong. I want to be wowed by this guy. I got to start watching. Now I have to start watching. They're forcing me to watch this guy.
Why weren't you watching him before?
I think this is a great thing, though.
Part of the reason is I get
you
up at 1:45.
Find out who Mike Trout was today, because he signed a big contract.
Well, they don't even put him on Sunday Night Baseball. They don't put him on the Fox National Games of the Week. It gets regionalized. Okay, you don't see him. You saw him on a bad Subway commercial. Right. There's nothing wrong with Subway, but I'm saying that's like, from a national standpoint, he like threw a ball up in the air and like cranked it and like broke a window and then got like a meatball grinder. I mean, that's what you knew.
You want him to be in more commercials and then you'll go see him play baseball? I just don't understand. What do you want? You need him to hawk products for you to go watch him play center field and hit home runs?
Said you can't market the guy.
Bob Manfred's a slap. Okay. You know what?
But I mean, here it's just the money just will absolutely drive you wild. Okay, his money is equal to or greater than 8 NHL franchises. The value of the entire franchise. His contract is more than Phil Mickelson, Tiger Woods, Vijay Singh, Jim Furyk, and Dustin Johnson combined. Those are the top 5 on the all-time money list. He's not worth the money. It's ridiculous. The problem is we all pay $5 a month to ESPN, to cable for ESPN and these other outlets, and that's how the owners
so get
these
he is TV worth it. Then.
No, he's
he
not. If he's good for Mike Trout, listen, good for Mike Trout, but it's ridiculous. Nobody's worth that. Because if you're that worth it, everybody in Chicago, the Wrigley Field should be sold out for those three games, and the and 35th and Shields should be sold out for those three games for a guy if he's worth that. You should have to go see that guy.
It's a great question.
What Chicago team is potentially affected most by Mike Trout signing a $430 million contract? The Cubs, whose young stars might be easier to persuade signing long-term deals, or the Sox, because fewer free agents are likely to be available for their rebuild?
I think the Sox effect is going to be more long-term, because you saw yesterday, it was the latest example, there were other, I think Bregman signed a contract extension with the Astros. You're seeing this around baseball. We saw it with Arenado, with now with Mike Trout. These are guys who would have been free agents, no longer wanting to test free agency. So that's going to eventually long-term hurt the Sox, who, if they were counting on the free agent to come in there and to be the missing piece or to pay to help them rebuild. But I think more immediately, it's going to be the Cubs. More immediately, it could be the Cubs if they choose to make it their business. Now, Chris Bryant, again, spoke yesterday, and he even talked about there's not going to be any free agents left or not many left by the time he hits free agency. When he was asked again about somebody else's contract, he said he was bored talking about it, and I can see why. But if I'm Theo Epstein, if I'm Tom Ricketts, I am considering, before these guys break camp, or we've talked about this before, why not go to Chris Bryant and say, okay, here's a $300 million 10-year contract. Where's your signature? Or Javi Baez, here's however much you want to try to persuade him to sign a long-term contract. Or Kyle Hendricks, one of those three. Take advantage of the market, take advantage of the changes, and lock up your stars long-term, so that you aren't dealing with this later and you can have some sort of contract certainty.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that at all, David. I think that I think the White Sox have money, right? Because they went after Manny Machado and they finished second with not enough money. And I think that the problem is everybody has money now. And I think the problem is that the price that was too rich for the White Sox to get Machado has now been raised in of itself. So There are no more bargains. Not that these guys were necessarily bargains, $300 million, but you're not going to be able to go out and outbid the market. So I think the Sox are very much affected by it, and it wouldn't be a bad idea to think about getting some of their own guys under contract and all the stuff that has been rumored that apparently isn't true, that they're going to try to get Aloy before he even gets brought up. The Cubs, it's very interesting to me because – at what point do you stop paying guys? They got a lot of guys they got to pay. You know, you can, after this contract, I think, number one, you can scuttle the idea of going to the first baseman and trying to get the Jack.
Well, that was always low on the priority list, right?
I don't think that was ever going to happen, yeah. But I think now you got to realize how much you're going to have to pay for Chris Bryant.
It's a long line.
Chris Bryant is not going to accept that contract at this point. He's going to go to free agency and hope that he is the guy that can set a new contract or can make more money. Definitely chasing the Harper money now, I think. So I don't know that he's ever going to get the Bryant money, the Trout money, but I think that the Harper money looks realistic for him maybe. I would try to get Baez done. I would go to a lot of these guys, and I would try to sell them on the idea that you get the money now, and then you can have long-term security, and then you don't have to pay these guys later. And all those guys should look at it. But I just think that Chris Bryant is not – I think he's headed to free agency, guys. I just don't – unless he doesn't play well enough or something like that happens, I don't see him. I don't see his agent telling him to sign a contract.
Well, the rule of thumb generally for players of this caliber, you know, guys like Trout, like Arenado, Harper, Bryant, is always hit free agency. You're always going to get a better deal. But what we saw this year with – Harper and Machado is they eventually got their money, but maybe not in the spots that they originally wanted to get that money from. You know, if Bryce Harper really, really in his heart wanted to be a Philadelphia Philly, he could have signed there the second day of free agency. You know, the Padres didn't come in for Manny Machado until the White Sox decided to give him some crap offer, which was incentive-based, that he was never actually going to consider So I don't think that San Diego was his first choice either. I used to think 100% Chris Bryant, he's headed to free agency. He's not going to sign an extension. 100% I believe that. But now I kind of feel like with Arenado and Trout re-upping with organizations that they feel comfortable with, in cities that they apparently love to live in or around, and I think that gives the Cubs more of a chance to lock up guys in the future, because, you know, all these guys on the Cubs like, you know, playing for this organization, at least that's what they say on the surface, and it doesn't seem to be that many deep-rooted problems in that regard organizationally, you know, with the Ricketts family or Theo or anybody there in the hierarchy. So I think if you're a Cub fan, this Trout deal makes you a little bit more optimistic that Bryant will sign an extension before hitting free agency. Now, as far as the White Sox go, you know, nobody's going to come here until they actually pony up the money or they prove that they can build the other way and that they can have a sustainable, relatively cheap, competitive product. They haven't been able to do either of those things to this point, and until they do, it doesn't matter who's the free agent. They're not going to come here.
When I look at the Cubs here, I think of Chris Bryant and Javi Baez. Those are the two guys you definitely want to make sure you take care of, that you want to get long-term, to stay long-term on the team. And if there was any illusions that the Cubs had of maybe getting them at some sort of discount in any way, out the window now with this Trout contract. That's how I think it affects the Cubs. And yeah, it definitely affects the Sox in terms of the fewer free agents. I mean, the whole Machado conversation when you guys were having that conversation was around the fact that the Sox really need a player to accelerate this rebuild, a franchise-changing type of player, and this definitely makes it a lot harder to make that possible. There's no possibility of getting a Mike Trout. I mean, that surely would have accelerated your rebuild in a special way. So this definitely makes things more difficult in a rebuild acceleration.
Well, believe it or not, I'm actually going to be aligning myself with Kevin here. I would have thought for sure Bryant was not going to hit free agency. But I think now that this deal actually makes sense, where I could see, especially once the Bryant camp sees what's going on realistically with Cubs Network, right? When that starts to become public and you
listen up closely, Snowflake.
And you know what's going on there, I think that's going to change it. From the White Sox standpoint, I it's going to be hard to attract free agents over there. I get that. And now do they have to start thinking, okay, from this group, okay, like, That now all of a sudden, hey, it's like, wow, that would be great if the White Sox could have locked up Aloy for that rumored $100 million deal, right? That, like, wow, that actually might be a bargain if he's even half of what people are projecting him to be. That so you're going to have to do that. So it's crazy money. It's hard for me to get over it right now. It's just crazy, crazy, crazy money.
I don't quite get the question.
What is your level of concern about Yu Darvish's blister? If he can't make his first start, who's the best option to replace him?
Oh, gosh, guys. I was really hoping that Yu Darvish was just going to be a guy that you plugged in and didn't have to worry about. I was kind of looking forward to the idea that we weren't getting on a roller coaster ride, and here we are. It already feels like the moving upward that we were hearing and everything that was happening is now going to include the screaming as we head downhill and then hopefully back up again and then defying gravity. It's one thing after another. There's never anything easy with Yu Darvish. I don't know why. I am my level of concern is high because I think that Yu is the kind of guy that's got to be perfect to pitch. And whenever anything is going to go awry, it's going to go awry with Yu. And that is kind of it's disappointing, frankly. I'm a little bit I just want him to plug in and be good. I don't want to have to worry about him every start. I don't want to hear all the different things that are going on and all the different reasons. This is nothing. Pitchers have blisters all the time, but blisters end up being big problems for pitchers. It can affect you in a game-to-game type of way. So it would be much preferred if he didn't have a blister and we didn't have to hear about it. I just don't want any information. This is nothing compared to the kind of issues that he's had, but it's just, It's something. And I don't want anything.
You want drama-free.
That's all I'm asking for.
That's all you want
Can't
from you, Darvish.
Can't our relationship just move like a straight line a little bit?
Yeah, enough with the ups and the downs and the little things, and this is nagging me and that's nagging me. When you see him have a blister, you feel like it's a broken bone. That's the problem.
That's the problem.
You feel like he's has there ever been surgery? Is there going to be laser surgery on the blister? Oh, where is the other blister? Is this contagious? I think it's a problem because it's you, Darvish. If it were another pitcher that you figure, if it's John Lester, you're like, okay, John Lester's going to be fine. John Lester's going to pitch. John Lester's going to show up every fifth day. He may have a few hiccups along the way, but he's going to be a guy you can count on. In Chicago, Hugh Darvish has not looked like the guy you can count on for anything except for drama. That's the problem. Everything that he's said up to this point, you almost want to discount because of one tiny little blister. If that's overreacting, I would say you're probably right. I'm overreacting. But I also paid attention last year. That's why I'm overreacting. So I don't like the blister. Who's the best option to replace him? That's why I'm overreacting. It's Tyler Chatwood.
Not Monty?
Well, blister, do you move Monty out of his role?
You got to keep him in his role, right?
Although, Chatty's
the extra player,
right? They don't really have many other lefties in their bullpen.
Mike Quatty?
Yeah.
I mean, you don't want Brian Dunsing in there in a high leverage situation against the lefty. I guess that's a good point. Yeah, Dunsey, if he's even on the team. I mean, he's been terrible,
Kevin. He's had a terrible spring.
Yeah. Terrible season last year and a terrible spring this year. I'm not concerned about Yu Darvish whatsoever. I'm very amused by all of the things that have befallen him in his brief time here in Chicago. You know, on the surface, a blister doesn't sound like a serious injury, but when you're a pitcher, it's a very serious injury. The fact that they've downplayed it and he's not going to go the Moises Alou route, they're going to use a laser and cream on it or whatever kind of concoction that they're going to fix up down there. I think he'll be fine. The blister doesn't concern me. I would be concerned if it were an elbow, if it were a shoulder, if it were forearm pain. I mean, those are your big red flags there. A blister is probably just going to be one of those things. This with a regular season, maybe you skip him in the rotation, but it's not really a long-term issue. I don't think Cub fans have to jump off the ledge quite yet. But on the other side, David, and you kind of bring it up, this is just kind of, it feels like the start of like, oh, here we go again. Oh, he's going to miss a start here. Oh, he might not, finish this game. He's got to come out early. And it just feels a little bit too familiar maybe for Cub fans. And I think that could be a frustrating aspect of it.
When I look at Yu Darvish, I kind of look at him in two ways. There's the anxiety-filled side of me that looks at Yu Darvish and it's freaking out a little bit because of just the fact that he missed the whole season. And you need this guy. You need him to be healthy. You need him to be impactful this season. If there is any realistic dream of the Cubs getting to the World Series, this guy has to be healthy. This guy has to be good. This guy has to make his impact felt on this starting rotation. So, yeah, when I saw this, I was kind of freaking out a little bit. Definitely. But the realistic side of me looks at this and says, It's just a blister, and look it. He was taking pictures, letting reporters. He let Bruce take a picture of it, and you see it all over Twitter. He wants people to see that it's no big deal, and he was laughing with reporters afterwards. His demeanor is continuing to be on a good level. So the realistic side of me thinks it's no big deal, but I am a little nervous in terms of the best option. I know about Mike Montgomery's importance to the bullpen, but I just don't feel comfortable saying Chatty is the guy that you slide in. Not at all. I think it has to be Mike Montgomery.
When it first happened, I thought, oh, gosh, here we go again. I've got to keep picking on this guy that I've done picking on. I don't want to pick on him. I want to be wrong about him. I want him to be great for the Cubs this season. But after the fact, and his demeanor and everything, I'm really not worried at all. He promised that he's going to even make his next spring training start. I don't know that that's necessarily the smartest thing in the world. Hopefully Jed, Theo, and Joe and Hadavi can get in the way of that, right? That's not needed. What's needed is him to have a good probably game three of the season against the Rangers, go about seven innings and not leave with another blister. That's what's important right now. I think he's built up enough stamina. Let's callus those fingers and cross them, Cubs fans.
So my reaction is more dramatic than yours to this.
Indeed. I'm more upset. David, I can only get so red-assed over one thing, and that this morning is Mike Trout's contract.
You're questioning everything now.
Since when can you only get worked up about one thing at a time? You're a brilliant plate spinner.
Yes.
Thank you for that question.
How many Major League Baseball fans will be surprised to find out opening day for America's pastime officially started at 4:30 this morning in Tokyo between the A's and Mariners? Why was it so low-key?
How about all of them? Everybody outside of Oakland and Seattle are shocked to wake up this morning and say, oh, it's baseball season. I thought it was still winter. It is still winter until 5:48 this afternoon. Look, this is the biggest secret in MLB, the fact that the baseball is opening today and it matters. And right now the Mariners lead the A's 5-4 in the fourth inning.
Ichiro just walked
and everybody gave him a standing ovation. He's a hero there. I get it. It's an exhibition. I get it. It's an exhibition. It should be that. It doesn't mean the season starts for real next week when everybody else opens, not a week earlier. It doesn't make any sense to start 8 days before everybody else. I get the travel. I get the international component to this. I get the marketing idea. But if it's such a great marketing idea, why could you get 10 baseball fans along Michigan Avenue and probably 9 of them would not have any idea that today is really officially opening day?
Yeah, I totally agree. I don't think people realize that baseball has started. And I think the fact that it's starting in Japan is just another thing to confuse people with. The game is going on right now. We've had our first home run, but Oakland's coming back. So it went from 2-1 to 5-2. It's been a good game. It's now 5-4. Seattle is winning because they hit the big home run, and Mr. David let out a scream during the break. First home run of the season! We missed it!
Well, Stephen Piscotty actually hit the first home run of the season for the A's, so that was the first one.
Right. I missed that, too!
Former Cardinal great.
I missed both of them.
It started as we were coming in. at any rate, look, you can't... I get it. I think opening day is great. I don't think it's the NFL, though. I think that the NFL... There's so few games for every team that opening day becomes the Thursday opener becomes more important and everyone's going to watch it. And the NFL is packaged differently and it's just a different animal. I do think that opening day, there are two dates. That's your home opener and your road opener. If you don't open at home, everybody's aware when the season starts and everyone's going to be watching to see how their team does. And everyone's going to try to go to the home opener and then the crowd thins down after that. So it doesn't surprise me. I don't think if I was in Seattle or Oakland, I'd be rushing to get to Japan to see the game. And I understand that. Mom wouldn't write me the excuse to go see the Sox play for the first game.
You'd
of the
hate
season.
To be getting on the train. You wouldn't want anybody to shove you.
Yeah, exactly. If you guys get in show, what was the name of that again? They had a name for it. No, I mean, it is patently absurd to start your season in another country and to do it, especially with the time change and all that. I mean, this is just wacky. This is just very wacky. It snuck up on everyone. I just got back from spring training. I had a couple different trips to spring training and got to see three baseball games. And I feel pumped up for the season just because of that. But got to tell you guys, this is goofy. This is a goofy idea. And if they had some sort of one day where everybody opened and they did this, that would be okay. Cause then you could, call it opening, trying to make it a national holiday that starts at 4 a.m. and ends it at, go 24 hours, ends at 2 o'clock in the morning, whatever, you go 20 hours. It's crazy.
I don't think it's crazy. I mean, what's the difference between this and playing a football game in London or playing a basketball game in Mexico City? They played baseball in the Dominican
Republic. It's the first
game of
the year.
First game of the year.
Okay, there's 161 more of them to come. They're still gonna have. Yeah, it does matter. You're right, Dustin. I agree with you there. Seattle's gonna have a home opener. Oakland's gonna have a home opener as well. What do I care where my team opens up on the road? The White Sox don't open up the season at home this year. They open up in Kansas City.
But they're not ready to start the season. It's March 20th.
How are they not ready? It's just a week earlier than everybody else. I'm sure they started spring preparations a week earlier to get ready for this game. The schedule will bore out throughout the season where it'll all be fine. I'm sure they won't complain about the schedule as much as the Cubs did last year.
Yeah.
Whatever. I was looking forward to it, and it's a good game. And I'm sure all the other baseball geeks out there will agree with me. I'm sure Connor's up watching it.
Get an update from Connor from his couch.
I think most baseball fans are going to be surprised when they wake up this morning and check their, you know, social media feeds or whatever and see that there's some baseball scores being tweeted out and things of that nature. I don't understand why it was so low-key. I do kind of think it's kind of weird, but I think it's kind of cool. I mean, for people that are up at the crazy hours that we're awake, I think it's kind of awesome. Sure, and I agree with Kevin. If they could play football games in London, why the hell not? I was looking up information on this, and I didn't even remember that there was an opening day game, or there was a game between the Dodgers and D-backs in Australia in 2014 as a season opener, technically. Don't remember that at all. So it's definitely not the first time they've done this, but I had no idea they were doing this, and I think most people didn't, and I don't understand why they maybe didn't promote this a little more.
Well, that's just it, Ray. I mean, the fact
it's Mike Trout's fault they didn't promote it well enough.
Well, I mean, if he's so freaking great, why aren't they over there then, right? Why aren't the Angels they play in the same time zone that the A's and the Mariners play, and it doesn't matter if it's interleague or National League. The Cubs are starting their season off playing an American League team. That's another stupid thing. This is dumb. Okay. The only thing cool about this is it's very rare that this show gets a live sporting event. That's about the only thing cool about it. The problem is that it's the A's and the Mariners, two teams that nobody cares about.
That is an unbelievably great question.
Segment brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Coach Fitz in the Big Ten West Division and Holiday Bowl champions at Ryan Field this fall when they host Ohio State, Iowa, and more. Season tickets on sale now at nusports.com.
I thought I couldn't get red asked about two things. Now I am two things.
The A's won more playoff games than the Cubs last year. That's just, I'll just throw that out there.
And way more than the White Sox.
Well, Cubs and the White Sox won the same amount of playoff games last year, if you want to go that route.
But they participated in a different
way. Oh, participation trophy. That's good. Good for them. Are you encouraged to learn that Mitch Trubisky is working out in L.A. with Allen Robinson, Taylor Gabriel, and Javon Wims? Does working out in March translate into a big deal, a mild benefit, or a complete non-factor?
I think it's really between mild benefit and complete non-factor, to be brutally honest with you. I am glad to hear it. There's nothing like bonding, and it's a good thing to do, but this is not something that's really going to help a ton. But for the sake of this answer and for the sake of this question, I will go with mild benefit. I think there is a mild benefit to working on some of the timing with some of the receivers, but I really don't think that it's that insane. You know, Huntington Beach, California, the weather's nice, everybody's got some money, let's go out there. That's fine. I mean, didn't Jay meet with the guys down in Miami?
Exactly.
Didn't seem to work very well for them.
Exactly.
So, I mean, it's, you know, it's fun to watch a little video of guys playing catch, but that's all it is. This is nothing to get worked up about.
Is Marvin Hall invited, the newly signed free agent speedster? You know, is he going to be there?
I think he's at special teams camp.
Yeah, okay. Is he with Chase Daniel?
I'm sure nobody ever heard of him.
Working on the scout team routes.
They got the punter there now.
I think it's a non-factor. You are going to impress people by what you do during the season. This is not a new group. They're not just meeting each other for the first time. Might be a bigger deal if this were last offseason where they're developing chemistry going into Bourbon A, et cetera. But they've had an entire season together. The timing is down. It's about health when it comes to Allen Robinson. Taylor Gabriel had a very productive year. Mitch Trubisky, what he does in March in year three is not what is going to matter in how you evaluate him. It's what he does in his third season, which is the tell-all, telltale season for Mitch Trubisky. So great for the Instagram feed, but not very impressive other than that.
It's fine, I guess. It's better than sitting on his arse playing Fortnite or whatever the kids are doing these days. Do they still play that? Eli, the kids still play Fortnite? I don't know. It's not going to translate.
My kid does.
Okay, well, there you go. I don't think it's going to translate over. You know, what you're doing in March with, you know, a couple of your teammates is so not the same situation as when you have a 200-pound lineman running towards you with the lights on at a night game in Green Bay or Minnesota or wherever, so it's fine. I'm not upset about it, obviously, but I don't think it's a huge deal.
I'll go with mild benefit here because I do think even though this is a team that already has chemistry built, I think that's something that you can always feed and work on and keep going. And I think the more team building, camaraderie building type of things you can do, the better. So I will go with mild benefit here.
I absolutely love it. And it's because of what Ray, the team building, the camaraderie, getting together, hanging out. I think that's really, really important, you know, until one of them pulls an Achilles. You know, then it's the dumbest idea I've ever heard of. And why aren't you just sitting on your ass playing Fortnite like the rest of the kids?
All righty. That is the Five at Five. It's always something that gets us upset.
If there's one thing about the Five at Five, it's that we do it every day.
That's right. There you go. And we're delighted to welcome in Eli Herskovich next. We're going to bring our resident tournament expert in. We're going to unveil our brackets finally, even though there still will be scratches made right up till tomorrow morning. I'm on the third version.
Third version.
All right. It's improving slowly but surely.
It's Wednesday.
And we'll go over it with Eli next. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.